Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, art, and entertainment, from company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn. It's a pleasure to have you with us today, and we're awfully pleased to have back with us today the husband and wife team who are behind Global Glory, Inc., the Ministry of Global Glory, headquartered in Dallas, Texas. This is a marvelous story that they have, an extraordinary team, and we have talked with them numerous times now, and I am thrilled to see that they're back on the telephone with us today, and I know you're going to enjoy them. Dr. McLean, are you there? Hello, Dr. McLean.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Dr. Marina McLean is with us. Glad to know that you're there. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Very good. Where do we find you today? I know you're headquartered in Dallas. Are you in Dallas?
I am in Dallas, but you won't believe that I'm at Derby.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said I'm in Dallas, but I'm at the Irving Convention Center.
Oh, okay. What's going on today?
Today is just a walkthrough for our upcoming, but I am not in the office. I'm, as the saying would go, I'm on location.
Okay, well, very good. Well, listen, as we have explained before, you know, I talked to your husband last week, and he talked to me. He was telling me you guys were going to be in Fort Lauderdale over the weekend. Were you there last weekend?
Yes, we were. Oh, my goodness. It was incredible.
Tell me a little bit about what happened, because your husband, Dr. Rennie McLean, had told me that he was going to tell us what kind of miracles happened over your weekend experience in Florida. And I thought, well, let's just start that way, because we promised the audience that's what we would do.
My goodness. I hate to interrupt you. I'm so excited. Because it was a Sunday morning, and we'd done a teaching through the Thursday and the Saturday, Thursday evening and Saturday morning service to prepare the church. This is a church that we've been to before. And so the second service, he only spoke for an hour, and then we started taking miracles from 11:30 to 2:30 in the afternoon. People were still in church that length of time. And we had a young man there, and one of the miracles was a young man there who was a chef, who had blurred vision his entire life. He's in his 20s, and been wearing contact lenses. And a few months ago, the cooker that he was working on blew up and melted the contact in his eye. So he had limited vision. And while the prayer went forth, he received his miracle, and he was standing on the platform just pointing and reading things. It was just incredible. That was just one of the miracles. And then a young lady who'd been wearing hearing aids for 20 odd years in both ears, and she was one of the signers on the platform that they have to the side. And she said normally she'd have to lean in because one of the batteries has been low, and she'd have to lean in to hear what the pastor was saying by the speaker so that she could interpret. And she took out both their hearing aids and handed it to my husband. She said, I don't need them because I can hear perfectly. And the place just erupted, erupted. And I could go on and on and on. There was a lady there who had had surgery in one knee, and she was due for surgery in the other knee. And she just said to her husband that she's tired of all these surgeries. She's just going to believe God for her knees. And she said it's the first time she's in no pain. She could bend. She could run up and down the platform stairs. It was just incredible, just incredible. And we had a specific, and some name specific things, because there were specific things that we called out, that we prayed for. And this was a very unusual way of doing it, but there was a team of us that he pulled to do this, so that people would not base it on a one person. They would see a team praying for the sick. And it's just incredible, just incredible.
So tell me about the size of the site. How many people? You know what? I'm looking at your website. You have a very interesting website. It's www.globalglory.org. It's easy to spell, globalglory.org.
Uh-huh.
And there is a picture of your husband there, actually, in front of a, it looks like you're in some place like, I don't know, not, a big, huge amphitheater. There is a, I mean, it's a crowd. There look like there are thousands of people there. Does that happen often? Do you get crowds like that?
That's our once-a-year meeting. We are the guest of, and it's our friends in Miami, Apostle Maldonado, who has the largest church there, Hispanic church there in Miami. And for the past few years, he's been doing conference at the American Airlines Arena where the Miami Heat play. And just so that's what you know, that's where we beat them 2011 in the... I won't go there. But anyway.
Okay, good enough.
But that's where he hosts his conference. It's a two-day conference. And it really is an explosion of miracles, because it's 14,000 people. And that particular picture that you saw, that was 2011 conference.
Okay.
And then we've done 2012 this year, and he's booked to go back for 2013 next year.
So I mean, that must be so exciting to be in the midst of a crowd like that. And I assume you've got them in the palm of your hand, don't you?
It is electrifying.
Yeah.
Last year, that picture was our first year there, and I'm on the front row along with so many other ministers. It was my first experience of it. And one of the things that they kept stressing is that they can't touch all 14,000 people. They can't lay hands. It'll be exhausting and time-consuming. So be prepared to respond to the presence of God. And the amount of wheelchairs that was left at the front as people ran across the front that came out of those wheelchairs, it was innumerous.
Explain to me what happens in these meetings. They're not meetings. I mean, there are services that you're holding.
Uh-huh.
Of course, this is a conference that was going on.
Uh-huh. But
what happens? I mean, do you and your husband get up and ask people who have problems to come forward and then you deal with them individually? Or just give me a picture of what kind of thing goes on.
At an arena like that, you have to tell people to put their hands on their sickness, whatever that sickness is. And for an arena like that, you cannot stand and call that individual sickness.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. It's with 14,000 people, that's too many. Sure.
You have to just call out just general. So therefore, you're speaking to the root of every sickness and disease, which is a spirit. And once you address that spirit in the name of Jesus, then the person's faith is built immediately, because you're not standing by yourself. If you put your hands wherever that sickness is and you glance around you, there's somebody else standing next to you with their hand on their sickness. So there is a corporate faith in that atmosphere. And you can't describe it. You have to experience it. And even if you are a non-believer, you are believing for somebody else because you want to see God do the miracle. You want to hear that testimony, because we do. We bring them up to the front. And then once you pray the prayer, you immediately tell them to do what they couldn't do. If they couldn't bend, bend. If they had lumps in their body, cancers in their body. They can feel where that growth was, pushing that growth. And then there are people to check them before they even get to the platform to give that testimony. And then we have doctors there that will verify, you know, as much as they can without medical records that something has taken place. So you feel it in the atmosphere, but then once people start giving their testimony, the testimony is good, but when you hear the story, that's what makes the miracle. You hear that somebody is healed of knees, but then you hear the story of how long they've been suffering, the various operations that they've gone for, the mistakes that have happened, and then in an instant, they can do what they couldn't do before. It is amazing. Just amazing.
You know, I can imagine that. I can imagine the crowd is just, they're overwhelmed, aren't they?
They are ballistic is the right word.
Ballistic. That's a good word to use. Wow. Good for you.
They are ballistic. And we've been there where you've seen they do the wave at the various conferences, you know,
right.
And sports events.
Right.
And this year when my husband stood to the platform, there was such an anticipation. He hadn't said a word yet. And it was a spontaneous wave that just kept going around and around the arena. I captured it on just a few minutes and seconds of it on my iPad and posted it because it was electrifying. And you can't choreograph that. That's the reaction of the people to the presence of God. I can't even say reaction to my husband because he hasn't said a word yet. It's the atmosphere that is set. And it's done through the word, and people come expecting, people come believing. They've got no plan B. They just have to trust God in this moment that he is going to do what the preacher has said God is going to do.
You know, it's a fascinating story that you have. I know you and your husband came to Dallas or to the U.S. 15 years ago. You moved here from the United Kingdom. You were in London. And you had a ministry going on in London. It was the Word of Faith Ministries there. How long have you actually been doing this? You're ministering, the two of you.
Well, I'm not going to tell you my age because, you know, I'm a woman.
No, I don't know, but it's somewhere around 25 years, right? Maybe more.
Even more, because we've been married 28 years.
Oh, okay.
And from I've known Rennie in my early teens, he's always done this. We've done it really. And when I got to know him, we were doing it within the church structure, within the church four walls. And the year that we got married, God started to speak to him to take this outside of the local church and do this in civic halls. What you call civic halls here in the United States is what we call town halls in London. And right from the get-go, he would put on, design on flyers, come, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. And at that time, that was unheard of because, you know, the God of miracles was Old Testament and New Testament. It's not for the now. But, you know, just like today, people in London, you know, we just had the medical service and, you know, public, and not a lot of people had private, so they had to depend on God. And that's why we're seeing the matter of miracles that we're seeing, because people don't have a plan B. They hear that God can do these things. For some people that have grown up in church, they've read it. But now to see the God in the now, the God of the now, the God of this 21st century, it awakens people to want to have that experience and then continually have that experience. So that's how we started, and that's how it's too late to happen because we know that it can. We know that it can.
Do you remember the first time a miracle actually happened and that you witnessed it yourself?
Oh, yes. I was 9 years old.
Really?
At the wonderful Royal Albert Hall with a speaker that's still alive today and still preaching and teaching today, Maurice Cirello. And I will never forget it. It's a fingerprint on my life. Because it was people that were from the hospitals. They were in their hospital PJs, and they were lined up on the front row. And he came off the platform, walked down the row and laid hands on every single one of them individually. He took time, spoke over them, and the first man was on canes. He dropped it and walked. I began to stutter. I've never stuttered in my life, but I began to stutter because I've never seen anything like it. And it just continued from there. For a whole week of those meetings, it was miracle after miracle that by the time I got back to my church at the end of those services, they were trying to tell me that miracles weren't for today. Well, it was too late. You know, the fingerprint was there. It was not going to go away. And then when I met my husband, Rennie, years later, and that's what he moved in, it was too late to tell me that, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. You're too young to be doing this, because we'd seen it. We'd both seen these type of things. So today we want people to experience the God that we know, the God that we've seen, and the God that we're still seeing in this 21st century.
Seeing it is one thing. Now, that wasn't your husband doing that.
No.
I know you were 9 years old. I mean, he's not that old, much older than you.
No, he isn't.
This was another minister, right, doing that.
Absolutely. And then we went back to our local church, and it wasn't happening in our local church.
Yeah.
But for us, because growing up in church, I know a lot of the Bible stories. And so what was history to me, when I walked into these meetings and saw it, history became alive to me. And you sit there sometimes when you see miracles, even for us believers, much less the unbeliever that don't know that God can do these things, you sit there and it's right before your eyes. And your mental capacity is trying to reason that out. How can this be? You know, especially to somebody that you know.
Yeah.
You know the length of time that they were sick. You were the one sometimes that drove them to the doctors, drove them to the hospital, drove them to pick up their prescription. And now they're looking at you in the eye telling you, I'm no longer in any pain. I can bend. I can move. We've seen people on severely depressed and get a touch from the Lord, and they have to go to their doctor, because we really encourage them, go to your doctor before you start taking any medication, for him to verify that you are 100% whole. This is not an emotional thing that's happened because you're in this environment, this excitement, this electricity, but, you know, this is your norm now. And it's, all I can say is, it's amazing. It's amazing.
You saw your first miracle when you were 9, but when you start, I would imagine this had an impact on your eventually becoming a minister. I got to feel that way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The question is, do you remember the first time you asked God to perform a miracle for someone and it happened?
Yes, because my husband is cruel. My husband has a twisted sense of humor. And when we used to do miracle meetings, I'm his worship leader, so I lead the worship, which is, you know, kind of the exciting thing, but, you know, it's reasonably safe. It's a safe, controlled environment type thing. And he would minister. And when he finished ministering, at that time in our lives, we would have, because it wasn't such a big crowd, we'd have prayer lines. So we'd individually ask the person what was wrong and pray for them. And this particular service, he started 2 lines, which I thought was just kind of strange. And then he looked at me with no prior warning and said, Marina, that's your line. Go and pray for them and expect the same things to happen. Well, I couldn't kill him because we're in public. and I couldn't argue with him because we're in public. And so I went, and when I get nervous, which you wouldn't tell, I talk really fast and very British and very precise because I want things over and done with very quickly. So I'd pray really quickly, and then I wouldn't get them to testify what's wrong. I'd get them to go back to their seat. And so my friend was catching on to this, so she'd make a big deal out of the next miracle. After 3 or 4, she made a big deal of it. And I'm just like, no, you can go back to your seat. We'll testify afterwards. Whereas my husband is praying and taking the testimonies right there. So, yeah, I do remember my very first time being very nervous and wanting it over and done. But the miracles, I'll never forget the lady, the first lady I prayed for with hip problems. And she was a big lady. And she bent and twisted all over the place, and I'm trying to, you know, pacify her to get her back to her seat, and she's now just ripping and roaring, praising God. And so that just brought the attention to my direction, which is not what I was aiming for. I was aiming to do this very quickly and get back to being on the platform leading worship. But yeah, I do remember my first time, and since then it's been amazing.
You know, the logical question to ask, you may not know the answer for this, but if this happens when you and your husband are having, you know, services, how come other ministers can't do the same thing? Why aren't miracles happening all over the country?
I can answer that. I can answer that. And I'll get the emails, and I can take them. Because this is what we believe every time. That God is present. He is present to verify, to confirm his word. If you say God can heal, and not God can heal tomorrow or next week, because then I'm giving a time frame. I'm putting it off for the next time. So all I'm giving you is hope. When we speak, we're talking faith, because faith is a now component. God is a now God. The first thing he said to Moses, when Moses asked, "If when I go to these people, who should I say sent me?" And he says, "I am." That was the first name that he gave Moses. That's the first name that the Hebrews know about their God. His name is I Am, meaning he's ever ready. He's ever sufficient. He's ever present to do. He has the capability to do the impossible. And that's what we keep emphasizing.
Well, that's very interesting. I know, as you say, miracles should be a lifestyle, not just an event on Sundays. And you kind of prove that, you know?
Yes, exactly. And that's why we, as much as we love doing the big conferences, we love now churches, church leaders are so open for this move of God. And we have to call it a move, because when they get it, it now becomes a lifestyle in their church. And the church that we're going into, they are having the same things, even after we leave, because that's what we emphasize. It's the presence. You build the presence, and God will move. You make it all about him and not about you, the personality as the minister. You make it about God, and he will move.
I know that you're talking about the picture. That big picture was a conference. You're holding a big prophetic conference. That's what it's called, a prophetic conference,
yes.
In early February.
Yes.
In Dallas, right?
Yes, we are. This is our third one that we're doing. It's called the Prophetic Encounter, and
yeah.
We call it an intimate time compared to our summit, because it's Dr. Rennie speaking. He might allow me. He might give me a sermon. I'm not too worried about that. But it's where he speaks the things that are to come, the things that are happening, not just in America, but worldwide. He ties the worldwide events together. And it's just, it's encouraging, it's fulfilling, it's strengthening, it's refreshing. But it gives you, my word is, it gives you a kick. For the new year, it sets the pace for what you expecting from God. And a lot of leaders come for this just for that time of refreshing, to get refocused, to get energized, to go back and keep persisting and setting their vision for the year.
So I know it's going to be big. How many people do you expect to attend that?
Well, last year was 500 people, and we just finished our summit, which is our largest attended summit. So we have no idea. We'd love it to be 800 people. We can, at this convention center, we're able to seat that. So we're looking forward to that.
And what do you think? What do you hope that those attend will come away with? What would be your goal?
The word that I love to use is revelation, and revelation is revealing and the unveiling of things. For a lot of people, they have experiences that they cannot express, and one of the things that my husband and I are very good at is putting words, putting expression to those things that you hide within yourself, that you've just suppressed because you don't know how to express it or even how to handle it. And then the strength, when I think of revelation, energizes people. It enlarges people's imagination and understanding. And that's the major thing that we'd love them to go away with. And make this year, 2013, a year of seeing miracles in their lives and in their homes and in their churches. Threefold.
You know, you mentioned 2013, next year, which is, golly, you know, when you think about it, it's just around the corner.
A few days.
what are some of your plans for next year? I'm sure you plan well in advance of what you're going to be doing.
Oh, yes. We've got lots of conferences and lots of new doors and new cities that have opened to us. One that is we're going to be doing for the first time just before Christmas, which is very unusual for us, is a city called San Jose with 2,000 Chinese speaking people. And that's our first time them hosting us there. And so we're doing that in preparation to what they want to do for 2013 in the Bay Area of San Francisco. So that's just one of the many that's happening so quickly for us.
I didn't know you spoke Chinese, do you?
I do not, but they have some of my songs in Chinese, and it's just amazing to stand there. I'm singing the English, and they're singing the Chinese, and it's just wow. It's just wow.
Well, you know, I know next year is going to be a big year for you. I know you have a new book coming out, I think it's in February, called An Appetite for Worship, right?
Yes, they are trying to tie me down to really finish this, because it's my first book, and as excited as I am, writing is the hardest thing for a person who's on the go. It's being still. And so they're trying to chain me and train me at the same time.
I understand that. I'm just wondering, where do you find time to do it? You sound like you have a really busy life. You have a great, great personality. You really do.
Yes.
But where do you find time to write a book?
Early morning.
Yeah?
Early hours of the morning and last thing at night.
And your husband writes too, so the two of you are competing with writing books with each other, huh?
This time we are, because normally I'm helping him, but we've got somebody now that's on staff that's helping him, and I've just got my staff that when I come in, they try and say, okay, don't touch the phones, go in there, and so they're really trying to help me.
Well, I tell you, it's fascinating to talk to you. Both you and your husband are extraordinarily interesting folks. And I know that it must be fascinating to go to one of your services. And now, I've pointed out before, you're based in Dallas. You don't really have a church, so to speak, in Dallas where you hold regular services. People have to – how do they find out where you are? So if they wanted to come to one of your, you know, one of your services – at the many churches you go to around the country, do you have a schedule that the people can find out on your website?
Yes. On the website, there is a schedule page. And then to keep up with us, we Facebook and we tweet. And we're also on YouTube. And then on our website, they can actually watch some of the services because we have DVDs on the website. So, and they can go in the archive and watch some of the miracles. So they don't just see that we just taught these things. They can physically see it also. So it's a wonderful to keep up with us because there's so many things that we are now able to, because of technology, people can really see and feel the services.
You having fun?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's exhausting but exhilarating all at the same time.
You know, I believe that. I believe you probably go to bed and can't wait to get up and start the next day.
Oh, my goodness. It really is. And I remember you saying that being at school and they asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, I never want 2 days to be the same. And my teacher laughed at me because he said, there's no job like that. And I have to say, Christianity is the job like that. There's no 2 days the same. And even when you set a schedule, it is gone.
Very good, very good. Well, that's a good way to wrap it up for today. It's been great talking to you. Our guest has been Dr. Marina McLean. Pardon?
I said wonderful, Doug. Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. It's great talking to you too, Marina. All right, we'll be back again next week, and we'll talk to you more then, and we'll find out more of what you've been up to. Okay?
Thank
Have a great
you.
Day.
Thank you. And you
Thanks
too.
So much. All righty.
Bye-bye.
And that'll wrap it up for this session of Close Up Talk Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn. It's been a pleasure having you with us. And don't forget to listen to all of the various programs we do here. We have great guests and their wonderful stories. Take care. Have a great day. Bye for now.